Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
I'm Hannah. I've lost 75 pounds in 20 months with GLP-1s, plus diet and exercise. On Row, I've gone from struggling to run a mile to running farther every day. You can access FDA-approved GLP-1s online. Get the support you need to reach your weight loss goals. Go to row.co/weight to see if you qualify. I'm a paid Row partner. 20% average weight loss in 1 year in non-diabetics with obesity or overweight with a weight-related medical condition versus 3.1% in placebo arm. Rx only. To stay informed about serious side effects, go to row.co/safety.
When legacy automation starts impacting visibility and downtime, it may be time to consider modernization. Graybar's automation specialists work alongside your team to help you identify risks and map out realistic upgrade paths without unnecessary disruptions. Get started with a free health check of your operations and see what's possible. Yep, Graybar does that.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Spits and Suds. How are we doing out there? Okay, we have a handheld microphone. If you'd like to ask a question, please just make your way. We have Sean Shapiro joining us. If you haven't subscribed, his Substack is called Shap Shots. We have Robert Tiffin of StarsThoughts.com. We have Stephen Mazur of 100 Degree Hockey if you have any Texas Stars questions. And we have the greatness of Leah Simakopoulos from the Dallas Morning News. These guys are great panelists, and they'll answer all your questions. I'll keep quiet.
Yes, my name is Aaron Thacker, and my
Aaron.
Hi. My question is that since this team has been near the top five in the league in back-to-backs the last 2 years, are you concerned about that and also concerned about the injury history with a lot of these players, considering that we did lose a few players during the offseason? That's my question. Thank y'all.
Well, on the back-to-backs, I think they have a back-to-back in Colorado where they're like playing at Colorado twice in a row, which is terrible. Mm-hmm. So the schedule is weird this year. There are a lot of back-to-backs against like the same team, and I haven't seen that the last couple years.
The baseball style schedule.
Yeah. So yeah. I'm curious.
Seattle also. Yep.
Seattle. There's a few of those. So I'm curious how that kind of shakes out, especially when it's going to be really important games. Like it's one thing if you're doing it. I think they had it in Tampa. Versus, you know, Colorado. Mm-hmm. In terms of the injuries, you know, that's the million-dollar question every year. I think that this season would have ended entirely differently had Tyler Seguin and Roope Hintz been healthy in the first round. I mean, they needed goal scoring, so that would have been nice. So, but I think last season was just such a tough schedule, and the players talked about it all the time. In the Olympics, just the way it was condensed. Now you start the season a little earlier. You don't have as big of a break in the middle, but still, it's just should be a little more player-friendly, even with the two added games.
Yeah, that's what I tend to think. It's less dense, even though there are two more games, and there will be back-to-backs, some really tough ones. I mean, that's an 8-point swing in two in Colorado, right, one way or the other. Again, very baseball-ish. Mm-hmm. But overall, I mean, this is what coaches and players were all saying, too, throughout the year, that it was really, and the year before was super dense too. So this year I think is going to feel less dense, even if there are going to be some back-to-backs that could be really pivotal. So that'll be the hope, that it'll be less brutal.
And this has been the longest offseason the Stars have had in 4 years, right? So there's that. There's also the reality of when you go deep in the playoffs, there's the, you pay the tax for it on the recovery time and everything like that. So, I mean, obviously, Dallas isn't the golden example of that. Will be Florida and the NHL this year is the case study. The Panthers obviously basically pushed their bodies till they broke for three straight years and won two cups doing it, and now missed the playoffs this year. And but Dallas is another example of that, where longer offseason than they've had. There's some other, so it will be, injuries are always a concern, but it's more so for me, not related to the back-to-backs. It's more so related to, and it's funny to put this on Tyler Seguin's health, but you look at Tyler Seguin's health right now, because with Maverick Bourque gone, with some of the other goals you've lost over the past couple of years, you need to see a version of Sagan that you did see last year when healthy, but with being able to play regularly. So.
People also say you always need some kind of luck to win a championship. And with Tampa Bay, they won two in 2 years also, like Florida did. Mm-hmm. But I don't think people remember that Tampa did not play 82-game regular seasons. One was a COVID-shortened season. The next one was also a post-COVID-shortened season. Mm-hmm. So I have to think that was a big help to a team like Tampa that, yes, they had two deep playoff runs in a row, but they also had, 17 fewer regular season games. So you need some luck, right? Carolina's playoff path, Colorado, when they won the cup, their playoff path. You need some luck. Sometimes it's the regular season, sometimes it's in the playoffs.
I'm just going to throw in, as the AHL representative here, anytime I hear anybody complaining about back-to-backs.
Who gave them a microphone? Oh, yeah. Okay.
They fly on charter flights. I mean, you haven't experienced a back-to-back until you've been doing it on a bus between Rockford, Illinois, and Grand Rapids, Michigan. So, check your privilege on that one, right? Okay, fair. All right, next question.
So I want to start with Sean, because there's a little setup here, but I want to hear what everybody has to say.
All right.
So.
Hi, what's your name?
Oh, thank you. I'm Christina.
Hi, Christina.
Hi, Christina.
I'm just me and Big D. I started writing about fun things to do in Dallas about 13 years ago. And now I comment on hockey because you guys are awesome.
It's a fun thing to do in Dallas.
I follow. Yes. It is. Yes. And I follow all of you guys. So, Sean, on a podcast which shall remain nameless that wasn't Gavin's.
You cheated on me, Sean?
You had a very passionate moment when Matt Duchene was being discussed.
Oh, yeah.
And what happened is...
I didn't hear about this.
Mm-hmm. You're saying two things can be true,
yes,
which is my favorite hockey saying, got a second runner-up because Owen said, it's the biggest upside. You said, why are we still talking about Matt Duchene? And he said, it's the biggest upside. He said it calmly, quietly. And that's a thing. So I would love to hear from all of you, and especially Stephen. Tell us about the Texas Stars. What is the biggest upside potential? Thing to fix, player to get better. What is the biggest potential upside for this year for the Texas Stars and the Dallas Stars?
Yeah. I appreciate the shout-outs to all other prior works and everything like that. And everyone should go listen to everything. No ill will. anywho.
Everyone should go listen to everything.
Yes.
Everything.
That's... I think Brian brought up about a bunch of the internal potential growth when he was on here. And I think there's a couple different ways. And I don't know if Brian's 10% is going to become Glenn Gullitson's. Like last year was, we all heard 1% over and over, right? Like, we're all, every single game going to be 1% tougher, 1% tougher, 1% tougher. And I guess maybe we should have done the math at the fact that there's only 82 games, so they only could have got 82% tougher and not 100% tougher. I don't know. Maybe we should have pushed on Glenn on that. But Brian's 10% at least now. If everyone gets 10% tougher and there's 23 roster players, you get 230% tougher. I don't know if that math works. Check with B-Ray on that for me. I think you look at, we talked about Liam Bischel before. If Liam Bischel can take that step and kind of force the conversation and become a second pair defenseman, that to me is, I wouldn't bet on that this year, but that's something where I think there's a trajectory that you could start to see that this year. If you can see that, if we keep harping on Sagan, but I think if there's the level, if you can get 70 to 74 healthy games of Tyler Sagan, and he can be close to a point, not a point per game player, but he can be a 3/4 of a point per game player. I think that goes there, and that helps solve some of the Maverick Bourque things. And I think the other one, and this is just, it goes back to, it's...
Are you going
to
take all of them?
I was asked for my opinion, Robert.
Okay, fine. Name half the roster. That's fine.
I'm going to name one more then.
Okay.
And I won't name the goalie. Okay.
This is why I like him on the podcast, because I just ask a question and then I think I run to the restroom and do a couple other things and then I run back and Sean's still talking. I'm like, thank goodness.
It's more fun to interrupt him when he's next to me, though.
Somebody has to take over. And I think this is the biggest under the surface thing for the Stars for both this year and long term. And I think this is an upside thing if we see this happen. Somebody has to take over as defining the identity of the Stars. And like, you look at teams that have won the Stanley Cup, you look at Carolina, very rare circumstance where the identity came from the head coach, right? Not many NHL teams can have that. Rod Brendamore is a complete outlier because they play the same style, all four lines. There's no different identity for each of the four lines. That's why Mikko Rantanen didn't fit in Carolina, because he couldn't play the style effectively the way that they want all four lines to play. The Stars' identity has been kind of stuck in flux for a while, where you're waiting for that next person, be it Jason Robertson, be it Mikko Rantanen, be it Wyatt Johnston, being somebody to go and say, this is the team identity that's going to be the difference in the Final Four. And so you talk about upside and looking for that. I hope that we learn, and we learn midseason, you're like, you know what? Hey, the next era of the Stars is defined by this player X pushing there. So is that enough, Robert?
It's more fun to make fun of you when you're not making good points, yes. So I'm kind of annoyed, actually.
Okay, but thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thomas Harley.
Lee? Well, that's it? Two words?
Thanks for taking them all.
I deserve that.
I think...
You definitely did.
Yeah.
I think for me, it's just what is the potential with this group when it's healthy, and that's kind of the Tyler Seguin point again. You know, I felt like... last season, this is a team that had... I think everyone in the organization feels like this is a team that has the pieces to win. But they just haven't always had all the pieces at the right time. It's always someone's hurt or someone's this or someone's that. So I think Tyler Seguin's definitely a big piece of it this year. And Roope Hintz as well. I mean, every year it feels like the Stars are going to do what they need to do in the regular season to make the playoffs. In my opinion, it doesn't really matter where you make the playoffs when you're in the Central Division. You're going to play someone horrible in the first round anyways. So it's what can these players do when they get there? I think last year it was the lack of Roope Hintz, the lack of Tyler Seguin, players like Maverick Bork and Justin Ritzkovian kind of disappearing. So what can some of those younger guys do when the games that matter most to kind of take that next step? When you lose a guy like Maverick Bork, you need someone else to step into that role. And maybe that is Justin Ritzkovian. There's not a lot of options to go to there. So, but I think that there's a lot of room for improvement. And that should maybe make some people feel nervous and some people feel hopeful. So,
all right, I'll say this because everyone made fun of me when I was on the Justin Ritzkovian train a while back. I'm getting on this Dylan Ritzkovian train. Steven, am I wrong? I talked to people that watched him in college. They really, really like his game.
I don't think I can call him Little Ritzy. I don't think that's allowed. Because I would be the littlest of any Ritzy brother for sure. But he's one of those guys who came in and immediately made an impact, a lot like his brother, to be honest. Right, his brother was getting those top line center minutes. He was taking the tough draws, and Dylan's a different player, but he was coming in out of college, playing with guys who had been, 60 games with the Texas Stars through that entire season, and beating them out for spots in the lineup. And so that he's a big upside. I was actually going to pick Emil Hemming. Mm-hmm. He came in and played with the Texas Stars last season to start, right? He played five games or so. Didn't really make a big impact. Wasn't the right spot for him. Team was in a lot of flux, so we went back to juniors. If he can come back this year and be the player that Dallas thinks he is, then that is a huge upside, not only for the Texas Stars, but, I'll put an outside chance that he could get a call, because there isn't a lot of depth in Texas at that forward position. You guys saw it last year. You saw Cameron Hughes come up. That's kind of what you've got. And so if Emil Hemming can have an upside in Cedar Park, and then that gives them options for a little bit more of a scoring touch, that's a big upside potential for Texas that will then trickle up to Dallas.
Yeah. So if he ends up great, remember me. If he doesn't, like Julius Honka, I never said it. We're cool? All right. Next question.
Oh. Hello. Hey, everyone. My name is Britt Wagner. I had two questions. The first one is, how do you feel about the LGBTQ representation from either the Dallas Stars or just the NHL? And hopefully a fun question, what was your worst NHL take that you've had? For example, Scott Glennie, he was a horrible draft pick that didn't pan out for anyone. But I was just curious what your worst take was.
I'll start with the worst take just because it came to my mind. So if anybody remembers, on February 1st, 2024, the Dallas Stars traded two draft picks, I think, for Mykael Granlund and Cody Ceci. And I wrote in the Dallas Morning News that the Stars made a blockbuster trade. And then about 12 hours later, the Dallas Mavericks traded Luka Doncic to the LA Lakers.
Oh,
and that did not make the newspaper. So the next morning, everybody opened the newspaper and read about the blockbuster trade of Mykael Granlund and Cody Ceci.
Same level. Same level.
Obviously.
I think that's fair.
Yeah. Oh, and then on your other question on LGBTQ representation, you know, I think that there's a lot of opportunity for the NHL here. I think that, you know, whether people are a fan of it or not, like, Heated Rivalry was a massive deal. I watched it, I loved it. And I think that the league kind of shies away from embracing things. It's been a little bit behind, you know, a lot of sports leagues are kind of behind where they maybe could be. So, you know, I've loved watching just the way that hockey's kind of become, you know, more inclusive for other people, like more open and accessible for other people. Like, I watched Off Campus, I watched Heated Rivalry, all of it. So, you know, I hope that the league can kind of embrace that. And, I mean, we saw stories of people coming out, the actors coming out saying that players reached out to them and, you know, that they could never come out and tell their story. So I hope that that can kind of open the door for, you know, the league to discuss it more. And I can't wait for season two. And I hope that it kind of prompts more conversations.
I remember, man, I can't remember exactly when this was. It was like the designated Stars Pride Night, I think. And they did more or less, again, don't know who was making the decisions or whatever. I think they did one, like, intermission video that they played. And that was pretty much the only thing you heard about the whole event. There's a lot more now on those designated nights. Of course, people will have different opinions on, you know, whether there should be much more or the nature of what that participation and representation should look like. So I don't want to necessarily grade everything on a curve by saying, well, as long as one thing is one step more than it used to be, then everything's okay necessarily. Like, the most important thing, I think, when you're heading up a big organization is to be listening and to be showing that you're listening to people. If you're saying something like hockey is for everyone, then you have to show it and you have to listen if they say, we think you're backing up those words or you're not backing up those words. And I think I was, for a time, I was definitely a big online guy in defense of Julius Honka, because I was young and dumb and thought that, you know, I knew that Hockey Metrics in 2014 or whatever were proving that I was smarter than Ken Hitchcock or whatever. And it turns out, maybe I wasn't.
We were all pulled into the Honka wars one way or the other, unfortunately. To go to the first one, and I think this is a, I don't want to go use a bunch of buzzwords, but I do want to echo a lot of what Leah and Robert said when it comes to the inclusion and making the sport more open to everyone. I look at it this way, where I think there are so many, hockey has very much been a sport that, for example, Leah is the outlier in this panel. There's four white dudes sitting up on this panel. We had Brian sitting up here before, and he was a wonderful dude, but he's also another white dude sitting up on this panel. And I think for so long, the face of hockey, for better or worse, has been, it is a straight white dude sport. And I think that is just the reality. If you go into, if you've ever been in a hockey locker room or anything like that, it's in language, and this is across all of humanity, but language was not very inclusive, and you could easily understand why someone who might be quote-unquote different by what traditional norms are wouldn't be comfortable being themselves. And I think the NHL has gotten better at it. I don't like when they take the victory lap on it, because I think there's many things that they fall short on when it comes to that. And I think the reality is, like, right now there's only one player who has been brave enough to come out, and it's the Luke Prokop, who obviously is a Predators prospect, played for Milwaukee, I believe. And the fact of the matter is, if you just do the raw numbers in the world, right, like, there's no way that there's not people out there who, if they could be live their more authentic life publicly, they would. And I think that's one of the things that has to change. And I don't have the right answers on all of that, but I think it's important that questions get brought up about it and that people are willing to talk about it. So that's that. And sometimes I mumble over stuff like that, but I think it's very important. I really appreciate you bringing that question up. Now to get to just making fun of myself right here, I too at one point said Julius Honka was going to be better than John Klingberg. So that was, we can all just start throwing tomatoes right now. I know some people brought tomatoes. I hope that they have them, because that was a really bad, really bad take on that.
He did score that one goal against Arizona.
He did score the one goal against Arizona that set all of the motion into effect, where if he doesn't score that goal, assisted by Jamel Smith, by the way, the Stars don't win the lottery to get Miro Heiskanen. So technically we can thank Julius Honka for that. But there's been a lot of bad takes. So I have no...
How much time do you have?
I'm sure everyone has their favorite bad Sean take. So I'll let Steven tell me his right now.
Yeah, I'll kick in a bad take. I get the opportunity to have a lot of bad takes because I get to see players before they arrive here. And my worst take over time was a guy named Antoine Roussel, got signed by Dallas, and I looked at who he was. And you could probably go find the receipts on my site. I said something along the lines of, seems like a fourth line guy in Texas, maybe 13th forward, probably good for not much more than fighting. Might end up in Idaho. We'll see. And then, well, you guys know the rest of the story. He ended up in Dallas by the end of the year, and he signed a 4x4 deal, which was a lot of money at the time for a player like him. And that was a pretty bad take overall. On the other question, I would say, one of the interesting things, I've had conversations with people in the front office of the Texas Stars about this topic, and it's a challenge for them because, the AHL does not have a league-wide initiative around any sort of LGBTQ inclusion at all. And it's kind of on the teams to make that decision. And then the teams have to make a conscious decision to say, we're going to do this, and we're going to potentially deal with backlash from folks or whatever. And so there are some teams that do it. Coachella Valley, by the way, go check out their jerseys for when they do it. They're sick. They look incredible what they do with the Firebird. But Texas has made a decision that they're not going to do that. And it's on every team to do it. And so I think that that's an interesting difference between the NHL having an initiative at the top that really sets the standard for the league, and then the AHL operates much more independently. And there's something to be said for setting that top-down initiative and what it encourages the teams to do and think differently about their role in terms of building inclusion for their fans who might not see themselves represented in the media or on the ice or on the staff and the teams. So it's a much different kind of world, but I think it's really important to have those conversations about inclusion at every level.
Excellent job, guys. Thank you so much for the question.
Thank you.
What is that? You got the tomatoes?
Sorry. To steal a line from Sean Jason of Damn It Jason fame, we've talked a lot about injuries, who needs to be 10% better and whatnot. Somewhat on the flip side, who's the one player the Stars cannot stand to lose to injury for this particular season?
Mikko Rantanen.
Are we talking like injury, like just for a little bit? Like what's the...
Let's go long term.
Because like I don't think...
Yeah, who do you want to curse?
No, but like I don't want Casey DeSmith starting a playoff game. Like I go back to that. It's the... And I struggle, like it's the, there's a bunch of guys that could hurt, but I don't want Casey DeSmith in the playoffs as my goalie, because I think if that happens, all of a sudden you have to be looking for other options, and I don't think there's other options.
You know who we haven't talked about because he's been, oh man, this is a knock on wood, Wyatt Johnston.
That was mine.
I mean, we don't know because he hasn't been gone for any period of time.
He's never been hurt, so I don't want to know what, I don't want to know what it's going to look
like. That's a really good one.
Yep, that was mine. Mm-hmm.
Every time Miro Heiskanen has been out of the lineup, you notice it.
Yes.
Every single time. That's the nature of any number one defenseman on any team, but especially the way the Stars are built. Miro Heiskanen does so much even if you think Thomas Harley can take his power play minutes, and he showed, you know, a couple years ago, he's certainly capable of doing that. There's so much else that Miro Heiskanen does for the whole team when he's out there. I really think he's irreplaceable. It's obviously kind of an easy answer to make is go to your number one defenseman because he plays the most minutes as a skater, but that's
but it's not
every
wrong.
Time he's been out, the team just looks so much different.
But it's not the wrong answer. It's it's
though again, I think they won a playoff series against Colorado without Miro Heiskanen, as I recall. Weird.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They did.
Yeah. It's because Colin Blackwell was in. That's why.
Because Colin Blackwell was in.
Just saying. Shouldn't be scratched, just saying. But that's just my love. Great question. These are great questions, guys.
Your line just went down. Production stopped. A supervisor wants answers. And someone's digging through a binder for the maintenance history. Every one of those minutes costs money. And most of the time, that breakdown could have been prevented. That's where MaintainX comes in. MaintainX catches the failure before it happens. Preventative maintenance plans on every key asset to improve reliability. Work orders assigned and tracked right from your phone. Everyone from the floor to the front office is in the loop. Companies on MaintainX have cut unplanned downtime by over 30% and saved thousands on parts and labor every year. See what MaintainX can do for your operation. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com, an Autodesk company.
Baseball fans, think you know who's hitting a homer today? Well, FanDuel is giving you a free chance to call your shot with daily dingers. Joining the action is easy. Just make your free pick on who's hitting a home run in their game, and if you're right, you'll get a profit boost to use on your next bet for a chance at extra winnings. You've got nothing to lose and a lot to gain. And don't forget, you can make a free pick every day during the MLB season. It's just another reason why FanDuel is the home for home runs. So, are you ready to play your game today? Join all the action at FanDuel.com/podcast. That's FanDuel.com/podcast to play daily dingers and make your free pick on who's hitting a homer. Play ball and swing for the fences on FanDuel, an official partner of the MLB.
Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey guys, thanks for putting us on. Robert, good to meet you guys. Two questions. First one's hockey. Second one's just personal. There's a lot of hand-wringing about defense, who's going to be our second defensive pairing and all those things. You look at last year, we allowed the second fewest goals in the league, but we got outscored. Granted, we're in top 10, but we get outscored by Ottawa, Pittsburgh, you know, these teams that you don't see as offensive juggernauts. But yet we sort of act as if our team is this offensive juggernaut. We've lost playoff series the last 3 years because we can't score goals. So why don't we focus more on the offense over... We do a lot of hand-wringing on defense, so I'd like to hear your thoughts on that. Second is more of a personal question. What's your favorite hockey movie or show, and why is it Shorzy?
Who wants to start on this one?
That's a Sean question, or a Robert question.
For the defense, hand-wringing?
Yeah.
I think one of the big things with the defense, and I look at it where it's not necessarily the concept of... Like, I go back to the defense and more of the position and how the game is played right now. And I think one of the reasons the Stars have done a good job defensively, as you said, and you bring up those numbers and you look at the goals against and everything like that. One of the things the Stars have not done a great job of, and this is one of the things where they needed Thomas Harley to be a much better last year, is they have not built out at the back nearly as effectively. And is that defense? Is that offense? I don't know what word you want to use appropriately for that, but so much of modern day NHL offense starts with the clean exit and entry. Like this past week I was over at we're watching the 18U tournament, just kind of the kickoff for the NHL scouting year, and you're talking to NHL scouts about what they look for in defensemen. And obviously Landon DuPont is this prospect who's projected to go number one next year. And why do NHL teams love Landon DuPont? Because the way he can quickly take the puck and move the play from point A in the defensive zone to point B and get the transition offense going and get everything going like that and keeping it clean and not making mistakes. The Stars' biggest problem, I think, when you look at the defense and why people worry about it is
Miro can move the puck. Esa Lindell loves the high flip more than any defenseman in the NHL. That's just the reality. He has, if you go look at icing stats, there's been three or four years where Esa Lindell has led the league in icing. Esa loves the high flip. There's a couple times it lands into the weird bouncing path onto like someone's stick. Great, but, and then. So,
or into the empty net.
Yes, yes. And then, when Thomas Harley, and so that second pair right now, with Thomas Harley's year last year, and then with some of the on and off again health of Nils Lundqvist and everything like that, Stars became a very easy team to prep for opponents when it came to, okay, you know that on the one defensive pair, your forecheck is going at number four. And you know that the other pair, Harley's been struggling a little bit, you kind of get under his skin. So it goes back to that. Like, it's defense more so for me from what that role means in the modern NHL of their offensive, the Stars will be a better offensive team if somebody on that second pair, whether it's Nils Lundqvist or Thomas Harley, whether it's Harley showing what he was 2 years ago or Nils Lundqvist taking a big jump, is able to turn them into a multifaceted, hey, we can move the puck out and get things going. That to me is where it kind of comes to the defense versus offense thing. So that's kind of my answer on the defense. I hope that makes a little bit of sense. And then as far as, what was the second one? Sorry, it was...
Your favorite hockey movie or TV show?
I mean, this is a chance to plug. I was in a movie, so I'm going to
were you?
Yeah, I was. So, I easily have to plug the movie, The Late Game, that my good friend Jeff Tyner wrote and directed that I was in. But
those jerseys are really... Did anyone get one of those jerseys yet? Those are really cool.
We got some more of those over there. Underrated movie is the original Youngblood. If anyone hasn't seen the original Youngblood, it is... it's got a young Rob Lowe. It's actually a really good cast.
The remake was actually really good, too.
I've not seen the remake. That's almost on principle because the movie was good enough I didn't think it needed a remake. So Patrick, I have not seen it.
Well, the remake's different. Same name, but different. It has racial. It's really good. I
will see. On your recommendation, I will see it. But the first one was so good, I was not ready to commit to a shot-for-shot remake of the first movie.
I think that defense often is, and Glenn Goldson even said after the series that, you know, they gave up too many grade A chances that they didn't have to. Like, that's basically the difference in the series, and it really was a really close series, even though the 5-on-5 scoring was very lopsided in Minnesota's favor. You look at kind of how those goals happened, and you can understand why a coach would focus more on the mistakes they made rather than the plays they didn't make to score. And I also think just psychologically, that's kind of human nature. I think back to any of my friends who've ever gone through a breakup, they usually talk about the things they did wrong instead of the things they didn't do that maybe they should have been doing that would have helped it go better. So I think sometimes it's just easier for us to think about the things that did happen that we wish hadn't happened as opposed to the things that didn't happen but we wish had happened. So maybe that's too psychological of an answer, but that's kind of why I think people tend to do that. And it happens in other sports too, right? In the 2011 Rangers, for a long time before they finally did win a title, everyone thinks about that last play with the ball going over Nelson Cruz's head. Sorry, but you score one more run at any inning before that, it's not a problem, right? So anyway, I think it's human nature. I'm sorry. And for Mystery Alaska, I think,
really,
man,
good.
It's just weird in all the right ways that I want a hockey movie to be. There's a lot of good hockey media out there, but Mystery Alaska surprised me because I'd heard a lot about it. It had been hyped to me, and I thought, okay, this is going to be maybe not hold up. I thought it was like weird and delightful in a really cool way. So that's what I came back to.
On the defense thing, I think just the one thing I'd add, Stars specific, is it. I don't think the depth scoring had been an issue. It feels like it's going to be an issue going into this season, but you know, the forward depth was there, and a lot of this I think focuses on depth because you get into the playoffs and that was just what, you know, that third pairing is what was killing the Stars over and over again. So I think that maybe we're going to see a little more of a shift of that now. Not that the, you know, the depth defensemen are really figured out either, but I think it was easy to point fingers as, okay, this is where they need to add, this is kind of the missing piece, when you have, you know, a Maverick Bork on your fourth line. Obviously you don't anymore, so I'm curious to see how that kind of plays out this year. In terms of hockey media, I know a lot of you follow me on Twitter, so please tell me what I should watch. I like kind of
watch everything.
Everything. I have to watch everything. Yeah. Well, and for me, I mean, I've like loved sports my whole life. Like, I played sports my whole life, and I just for some reason never really watched like sports TV or movies. Like, so many of like the classics I just didn't see until like now. So please send them my way. I've seen some of the more recent stuff. But
did you see Miracle?
I've seen Miracle. Okay. Yeah, I've seen Miracle. But that's an acceptable other things, answer. Please send them my way.
For my part, I'm going to say that the thinking about the forward versus defense, offense, defense debate, I'm going to tell you guys, you got to figure this out up here because there ain't reinforcements coming. again, as I talked about at the beginning, kind of blending a couple questions together, think about who you would lose to injury that would be really tough for the team, all those sorts of things. There isn't a drop-in replacement for a lot of these guys right now ready, and you'd have to start thinking about trade opportunities, which then becomes difficult because, again, you don't have guys that you can trade. You don't have draft picks that you can trade. So you really have to go to war with the army that you have, and this is the army that they have. There aren't reinforcements coming who can score in the ways that they need to, to replace that. And as far as hockey movies, I mean, I play Beer League. You know, the late game was obviously, spoke to our core as a team, but Slapshot, like, it's got to be Slapshot. Like, we put on the foil, all that kind of stuff. Those jokes go around all the time in the Beer League locker room. That's a good one. Leah, you got to start there.
Perfect.
Well, with what Steven's saying, we might have to cancel the Tiffin Spittle road trip down to Cedar.
Yeah, well, we might have just heard his worst take most recently, so we'll see.
I would love for that to be my worst take. Yeah. That would be great.
Hey.
Name?
Robert.
Robert.
Hi, Robert.
During the negotiations with Jason.
What a cool guy. Can we just all agree? What a cool guy.
Yeah. Great name.
Amazing. Same to you, sir.
Yeah.
During negotiations with Jason Robertson, it seemed pretty clear that the Stars front office stance was you can't make more than Mikko Rantanen. Was that an organizational philosophy, or was that more a matter of convenience because the math just didn't math? And if it is an organizational philosophy, how do they handle that going forward with salaries basically exploding?
Yeah. Quickly, two-parter. Number one, we did ask Jim Knoll this after Robertson got signed, and he said, and I think Brian alluded to this earlier, mm-hmm. but he said, you can take him at his word or not, but Jim Knoll said, no, we don't have an internal cap that way where no one can make more than Mikko Rantanen. The second part of that is, cap-wise, they signed him for $12 million. Mikko Rantanen's cap hit for 1 year, and they really don't have any more space unless you're squeezing like $1 million more out by trading someone like Steele or Foxa and replacing him with a league minimum contract, which apparently don't exist in any sort of like league, average fashion down in Cedar Park, according to Steven. So I think that I mostly believe him because we've seen them adjust. Like, Thomas Harley's making more than Miro Heiskanen, right? So I think that contract came a couple years later, and I think now that it's been a couple years after Mikko Rantanen's contract and the world has changed to the degree it has, I think I believe that more or less. Whether the Stars want to pay him more than Mikko Rantanen is another question, but I don't think that they're philosophically opposed to anyone making more than Mikko Rantanen 2 years on from now.
I think you hit it. They really had no choice this year. I mean, you look at the money they have left. They could have maybe paid him $12.5 million, but that would have been still really pushing it. So I think we use Mikko Rantanen's contract less as comparing the two players, but more just saying he can't make more money than this physically because it doesn't exist. But I think that he will make more money than Mikko Rantanen. I expect it, and I think the Harley Miro analogy is a great one. I mean, I don't think anyone here thinks that Thomas Harley is worth more than Miro Heiskanen, but I'm sure Miro Heiskanen will make. He signed a very team-friendly deal when he did, and he'll make his money.
So. My one thing I will add to this: if you're a team, and you're going to use an internal cap, it can't be the salary number. It has to be the percentage of the cap. And I think that's one of the things that because everyone's I don't have the numbers in front of me, but it's like, oh, Nathan MacKinnon played on that cheaper deal or whatever. Well, if you look at the percentage of the cap for that compared to what Rantanen was looking for, it's pretty comparable. Oh, and it goes back to same thing with, I know Sidney Crosby has played under value for a lot of his career on that $8.7 million cap hit, but there was times when he signed that $8.7 million cap hit, and that was a higher percentage of the salary cap than many of the deals right now. So if you're using an internal cap, you have to look at the percentage of the cap and not the number. I also think if you're using too much of an internal cap, you're not adjusting and you're going to get beat out by other teams.
Really good questions. Thank you so much.
Hey guys, first of all, I want to thank you guys for making my morning commute to work on I-35 a pleasant experience, because it's like 55 minutes in a car. So anyway, but I love what you just said about percentage to cap, because I think when you look at like fan Reddit and Twitter and all those things, I think people get stuck on the number and they miss the relative comparison to where we are. But I just wanted to say that all of you guys have enriched my life in my love for the Stars. Gavin used to have sweaters forever with Chibi.
Throwback, huh?
Yeah. I have been
before
on
we were Spits and Suds. The podcast was named Sweaters Forever.
I have been on this bandwagon forever, I'm just happy that we've come to a place where Dallas Stars fans are gathering in August at a thing with beat writers and things. So thank you.
It's very cool.
Thank you, my friends.
Thank you. Very nice of you.
Yes. And I mean that really thanks to Gavin, because none of this is happening without Gavin.
I appreciate it. You guys make me sound like I know kind of what I'm talking about.
Well, I do think there's, and I've said this on the show before, but now I'll say it in front of other people because you deserve it. There's a reality of, in this business, there's a lot of things where people go and say, hey, we're going to do this, and we're going to deliver this way, and we're going to do this, and we're going to go and, hey, we're the greatest thing since sliced bread. That's poor cliche to pull out. I'm talking like a hockey coach. But there's the reality of, one of the things I really appreciate the way Gavin has handled things and really approached things with this show, and even from the back end that people won't see and everything like that, this was always a, hey, this is something I'm really interested in doing. I'd love to have you on, and it's a passion project. And there was never an over-promise. There was never a, hey, we're going to do this, and we're going to do this, and then we're going to shoot for the moon, and everything like that. It was always, hey, let's just have some fun and build it. And I think, I always really appreciate seeing people rewarded for the work they put in. And so I think everyone here right now is a credit to what Gavin has done and put into this product, where this was a passion project. He does have a day job, believe it or not. He actually has to manage a radio station.
That's a compliment when people said, I think you just did a podcast.
Yeah, it's good. And so to see this grow to a level where we're sitting here and there's people and all of you are here, which is, thank you again very much. Like, Gavin deserves a ton of credit for doing it the right way.
I appreciate it. And likewise, as we wrap it up, the biggest compliment of the show is when I read the comments on Apple and it says they have the best guests in DFW. That to me is what it's all about.
You can't take the win and walk away. Just come on. Just do the Costanza. Just like, I'm out. Just take the compliment and walk, bud.
I mean, if Colin Blackwell compliments me, I'm in, you know? But no, thank you. And thanks to each and every one of you. A few of you, when we mentioned this and said, hey, we should hang out sometime, it was amazing the feedback that we got and said, yeah, let's do it. And so tonight happened, and it's been awesome. It's a Tuesday night, and you guys showed up. So we truly appreciate you guys as a whole. You guys are absolutely awesome. Did want to point out each and every one of you are special. Special thanks. You drove all the way from Arkansas to be here. That is absolutely amazing. Thank you. We had one of our amazing listeners, who's a police officer in Vancouver, Canada, who tweeted me and apologized for not being able to make it. He's like, I couldn't get off work. I'm like, dude, you live in Vancouver. It's okay. But that's what's so amazing, is you guys come from far and wide. We are grateful. The best part, this show is only going to get better. The interviews are going to get better. We're going to keep rolling. 2026, 2027 is right around the corner. I can't thank these people enough. They dedicated their time tonight. It is so awesome. They deserve so much credit. So round of applause for Leah Simakopoulos of the Dallas Morning News. Please read her stuff, follow her on Twitter.
even though Steven was down on the Texas Stars, just because I get to hang out with Robert Tiffin, we will make an Austin road trip this year. So Robert Tiffin, starsthoughts.com. The NHL was really smart, and they said, hey, let's hire him at NHL.com.
Let's see.
Steven Meserve, 100 Degree Hockey, always there for us. What a wonderful resource. Two other people, my assistant program director, the guy that makes 105.3 The Fan happen, Tim Collins. Thank you so much for your help tonight. He is overworked but did an amazing job tonight. One of our engineers, DJ Pridemore, thank you so much. And finally, the man who, when the Stars were playing on the West Coast, came up with the idea, let's do post games. And we were up till 12, 1, 2 a.m. What's amazing is Sean and I did the podcast together for, what, a year and a half maybe? We had never met in person. That's what's amazing. But the chemistry that I share with you and everyone else, it's a tribute to. So thank you so much for flying in for this event, Sean. That's awesome. Thank you. Special thanks to Gregory Finley. He's not here. I don't know where he is, but you know what? He does a good job. We need to get him in next year. Special thanks to the on-time experts. They've been absolutely awesome. It's so great that so many of you have supported the on-time experts. Please just mention Spits and Suds, ontimeexperts.com. I'm Gavin Spittle, 105.3 The Fan. Thank you guys so much for coming out. Until our next podcast, have a great day, everyone.